Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning, good morning. So good to be here with you this morning. I hope everyone's doing well. Whether you're watching this live or you're watching it at a later date, we just want to wish each and every one of you well. We just like to come together every morning as we come and open up our service. We just want to worship the Lord this morning. I just want to thank Him for His many blessings, for His protection, His mercy, and His grace. And during this season, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday and we're preparing for this time of year that we come together and we think about Jesus being our Lord and Savior, we just want to lift Him up and thank Him so much. Thank God for we just thank You for loving us, dear Lord, and for your many blessings. As we come together, we're going to open with prayer this morning. And also, I'd like for you, as you do prayer, to continue to pray for the technology as we're completely developing and organizing the way this is presented. I hope the volume, the picture is clear each week, each time we do it. We'd like to be stronger and stronger, and God's will, we will. And as we get ready to pray, I have a special prayer request going forth. You know the ones that we have that come out in our text or emails. Those that are listed, those are in the prayer box. But also, as we go through this time, I want to lift up all the heroes. And those are the people that's on the front line, from our nurses, our doctors, our paramedics, all those are involved, from the ones that are cooking, the ones that are cleaning, each and every situation, our hospitals, our medical facilities. And I want to lift up also, as you know, the National Guard and a lot of the reservists are being called back to active duty. And we're asking you just to keep each and every one in the prayer for their families and for them, and for our government, for our president, our Congress, our Senate, that we'll all gather together in one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And we'll move on. We just want to also lift up those of you that are still working and that you're out and about. Those that maybe you're not and you're working at home. That you'll just find that peace during this time. That if there is a need, we know a God that can handle each and every one. Whether it's fear of our job, our finances, those parents that are homeschooling now, working with the teachers online. It's a whole new world. But we just want to lift each and every one to prayer. And also for you individually, you know who you are, and you know if you have a prayer need this morning. You know God sees our heart. He knows exactly what the prayer needs to be this morning. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you where you're at. If at all possible, let's all stand in unity this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you have a prayer request. Just lift it up. God sees and He knows. He already knows our heart. But we want to acknowledge with faith a God that's able to handle each and every situation. So we're going to go to Him in prayer this morning. We're going to lift you up again. Work with us. Pray with us on our devices, that Lord, that we'll be able to broadcast the Lord's Word. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we praise You this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, we know that You're in control of each and every situation. No matter what is going on in this world, dear Lord, we know that You are the great I Am. Dear Lord, we just worship and praise You. Dear Lord, we place our families, our needs, our situations into Your mighty hands. Dear Lord, we're praying for all the nurses, the doctors, the caregivers, wherever they're located. Lord, we're praying for our politicians, for us to gather together in Your name, dear Lord, to fight this virus. And dear Lord, we're giving You the honor and the glory. Dear Lord, we ask for You to remove all fear, remove all doubt. Dear Lord, we're asking You to strengthen each and every one of us as we stand together in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, as this message goes forth, dear Lord, we just want to lift You up and honor You. Dear Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor and his family as they've prepared these messages, dear Lord, as it comes forth to You. Dear Lord, may we humbly stand with each other, hand in hand, just in mind or soul, however we are, dear Lord, even though we're separated by space, but we can come to You in spirit. And, dear Lord, this is a spiritual battle, dear Lord, and we're placing it into Your mighty hands. Again, dear Lord, I just thank You for each and every one that's watching this presentation, this service this morning, dear Lord, that You'll bless them. And, dear Lord, again, we ask for Your many, many blessings to be upon each and every one of us. Again, dear Lord, we just give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say amen, amen, amen. Praise God. As Brother Eddie comes forth to bring our message this morning, I'm going to ask you if you would turn off anything in the house. Turn those beans down. Don't let them boil over. You know, just get to that point where if there's anything to distract you, let's just turn all of our attention and place it all on God and His message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Love each and every one of you.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome from First Pentecostal Church here in Villarica. A great big hello to all of our beloved members and all of our friends and maybe first-time viewers. If you're viewing into our live stream today, welcome. We love you. Praying for you wherever you are. Whatever your situation is, we know a mighty God who is able, amen, to see us through these trying times. This morning, before we get into the message, I again want to bring a daily inspirational verse. This one is found in Psalms, in 55th Psalm, 55 verses 16 and 17. Again, feel free to turn with us there. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17. David the psalmist writes, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Thank God that there is someone who hears our prayers, knows what we're going through, not only is able to know that, but is also able to sustain us and comfort us during those times. I was had a song on my mind this week. I think it's very timely for what we're going through during this particular time of our life. This song was written many, many years ago. I'm not sure exactly who the author was, but maybe you do, and maybe you'll recall it. But I'm going to just read the song this morning, as we're not set up with our music here. But I've been humming and singing this song probably on a daily basis this week. And it goes like this. It says, "I remember days when saints would gather in their little humble cabins in the hills. They had no fancy pews or pretty altars. They made their altar anywhere they found to kneel. Upon the mountain high, close to God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chanced to trod, anywhere I'd bow my knee is a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. I don't have to find a pretty chapel or a temple that reaches to the sky. And I don't have to kneel in the church house. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God." What a wonderful promise that is, that we can find God wherever we bow our knee, wherever we get in touch with Him, whether it be in a beautiful setting in a church with corporate worship, or whether it be right there on the sofa in our living room. Wherever we are, that we can call on God. He's a mobile God and He's an on-time God. And I thank God for that. Thank Him for His Scripture. I thank Him for His Word. And I again continue to urge you to stay in the Word. These are very perilous times that we're living in. But God has planned and given us a word of encouragement for these trying times. And we can always find that in His Word. This morning, from our message text, I would like to choose the book of St. John, chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 22. We will be reading down through verse number 27. Again, the message text this morning is found in the book of St. John, chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 22. "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your precious word, for your promises, God. The promise that you will not leave us nor forsake us, but will continue to be with us. Father, we're thankful for those who are tuned in today to this live stream. And Father, I pray that your spirit and your anointing will go out there and touch those who stand in need of prayer today. God, there's so many sick and so many afflicted. Father, we pray for those in the hospitals, those in the nursing homes, and those who are caretakers in the medical profession as well. Now we ask you this, Lord, now to anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a vessel, that the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts, that we may be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so thankful that we can still have blessings even during this time of the coronavirus. There's still a lot of blessings, so many things that God has blessed us with. I'm thankful for the ability to have food in our homes, a place to shelter in, a place, amen, and the ability here that we have to still to communicate one with another. And before I get into the message, I still encourage you, if you have prayer requests, if you have needs, please send a text. Text to the church. You can. It'll go out over the prayer list, and many will receive that, and we'll be praying in one mind and one accord for your needs. If you have physical needs, if you have grocery needs or something, please let us know as well. This morning, I want to speak for just a little bit on divine peace. Jesus' words to his disciples not long before he was to leave this world, this earth, this walk of life. He knew that the crucifixion was nigh at hand. He had been giving them little hints up until this particular time, but now, as the time grew shorter, he began to be more serious about his leaving them physically, but not spiritually. And we find that the disciples were in tune a little bit, but did really not sink into them exactly what was about to happen. We find here that Judas begins to speak to him, and the Bible is very explicit in telling us this was not Judas Iscariot. This was Judas, also known as Thaddeus. And he began to speak to him and say, Lord, you know, tell us how that you're going to reveal yourself to us and how that the world won't be able to recognize that. Still, they needed a tangible spirit. They needed a tangible God. They needed something that they could personally touch, something that they could walk with. Because you know, up until this time, after the choosing of the disciples, Jesus was constantly with them. He was teaching them. He was mentoring them. They were able to see the many miracles that he performed. They was able to experience his compassion. They was able to experience his ability to take fish and loaves and feed a multitude and open blinded eyes and cause the lame to walk and the deaf to be able to hear again. And they was in awe of all of these wonderful miracles. And now they were worrying about how they were going to continue this ministry with Jesus not being around in person to lead them and guide them. And Jesus begins to speak words of comfort to them. I'm so thankful that in our hour of need, we can still hear those peaceful words from our Lord and Savior. Many, many times, even before this particular situation that we're in, we've almost been up to the end of our rope, so to speak. We've been backed into that proverbial corner, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know who to turn to, and we can always find that Jesus has the perfect words to speak to us as he begins to comfort our soul and comfort our spirit. And there's such a closeness, and all of that was made possible because of the death, the burial, and the crucifixion, and the death and burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As this season, the resurrection season, approaches, let us never, ever forget what Jesus went through, the pain, the humiliation, the severe beatings that he endured on our behalf, not because he was guilty, but because we as a people were guilty. So he began to speak to his disciples, and he gave them a promise. A promise in verse number 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. If you're looking for comfort this morning, you'll find it in the Holy Ghost. If you're looking for someone to sustain you, you'll find it in the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're needing something to help you through these very turbulent and trying times, the Comforter there, which is the Holy Ghost, will be there and not leave us nor forsake us. But he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. We are still ever learning. I find myself constantly depending on the Holy Ghost that is within me to lead me, to guide me. I have never yet, and I hope I never fail to do so, ask the leadership of the Holy Ghost before I get into the pulpit to bring a message. Because it's not what I can come up with in the Word of God that's going to help you, but it's what the anointed Word of God is going to be. As it passes through these lips of clay, God can take that and meet the different needs. I've often heard people say, how do you fill the needs of all the church members that are in the church? Well, I could never do that. I could never surmise a sermon. I could never pick and choose something that would edify and give spiritual nurture to the entire church. But I do believe that the word of the Lord will not go out void, but it will accomplish that the Spirit of God wants it to through His anointing power. So I continue to urge each and every one of us during this, not only during this time, but even in the good times that are to come, to continue to depend and lean on the Holy Ghost that is within us. You need the Spirit of God within you. That's what He was calling the Comforter. He was basically telling them, I will not be with you in flesh and blood any longer. There's going to be a time of separation. There's going to be a time when I will go to the Father, but I'll send the Comforter in my name. And that Comforter, this is the wonderful thing about the Comforter. As long as the disciples had Jesus with them, they had peace with them. But through the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, now they have peace in them. Do you understand the difference? There's peace with them, and now the peace that is in them. The Spirit of the Lord is with me today. I cannot touch Him. I cannot feel Him. I cannot see His physical body, but yet I know that there is a Spirit that is within me, and that Spirit is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ Himself promised that we would be able to have. And that will not leave us nor forsake us. It will carry us through all of these times. Another thing that Jesus spoke of was a promise of everlasting peace. Wonderful peace. Peace is a word that has been bounced around as long as I can remember. And people talk about world peace, and they talk about peace among nations, and they talk about peace among families. And so many times the peace that they're talking about is not sustaining peace. It's just maybe a time of compromise or consolation, or maybe working out problems or situations, and they call that peace. But how many knows that there is no peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter how peaceful the times are around us. I know that for a fact that many, many people have had seemingly everything that they could offer or want or desire in this world, but it still did not give them peace. But yet, I've known people that maybe didn't have a lot of material things in this world, but to look at them and to listen to them talk, they had peace. And the difference is that they had found peace with God. They invited Jesus Christ into their life as Lord and Savior, and He became that divine peace that we can lean on. Listen, the divine peace doesn't just come and go when we need it. The divine peace of the Holy Ghost is with us every day, every hour of our life here on this earth. And when this life is over, amen, we'll go home to be with the Lord in that place that He has prepared Himself. But the promise was an everlasting peace. And then He's quickly to say, not as the world gives you peace, but peace that I give unto you. Listen, the world would, if it could, would probably give you peace, but they're not able to. It is beyond my ability to fathom or comprehend how the world could give peace to everybody on this earth, because you got different people involved, you got different likes, you got different groups. But the Lord said, I can give you peace. I can give you peace to stand in the trials. I can give you peace to stand in the time of sickness and affliction. And the peace that I give you is not just a short-term peace as the world gives you, but peace that I give you is everlasting peace. And then He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And these are times when we really need to rely on the Word of God. Now, these are the words of Jesus. These is not the words of a politician. This is not even the words of a pastor. These are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. And he's preparing His disciples for His departure. And can you imagine the the confusion, the anxiety, the fear of what was going on in the disciples' lives up until this point, because they had so relied on Jesus to be there. Many, many times as people would come and bring sick folks to the disciples, they in turn had to turn to Jesus, and Jesus scorned them one time and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, you know, basically, how long will I be with you? I will not be with you always." So it's a time to step up. So I'm pretty sure there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear of the unknown, that what it was going to be when Jesus left this walk of life. But Jesus gave these wonderful words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the reason he was able to tell them that, and the reason he's able to tell us that today, is that he really hasn't left us. Only the body has left us. His spirit is still alive and well today. And I thank God that I can feel his spirit. I thank God that is with me every day of my life, every problem, every situation that I face. I can always turn to the Lord, and he will not leave me. He is a wonderful Savior, and I appreciate him so very much for what he did, the great price that he paid. Today is acknowledging Palm Sunday, signifying the triumphant ride that Jesus returned to Jerusalem. Jesus had visited Jerusalem many, many times. Many, many times. And there, you know, sometimes he would come to Jerusalem, and sometimes even the Pharisees and the Sadducees would try to corner him into admitting something, and he was always able to hold his own because he is the living Word. But on Palm Sunday, it was the time in celebrating the last ride into to Jerusalem. And it was mentioned they began to put palm trees down and palms as he began to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey now, not on a horse. And if you're familiar with the Hebrew and the ancient Greek, this was signifying a time of peace. If he had rode in on a horse, it would have been signifying a time of war. But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. It was not by circumstance that he chose to ride in on a colt or a donkey. This was signifying that this was a peaceful time, and to give the people hope and comfort that even though he was leaving them, he would not leave them comfortless. So the word Hosanna began to shout out rather than Hallelujah. They began to shout out Hosanna, talking again about a time of peace. And this is leading up to the peace that he would give them. Now, just following that was the terrible apprehension and the stripes that were laid upon our Lord and Savior that was horrific. And then the time of his mock trial, and the time that the same crowd that many times he had blessed now began to holler and scream, "Crucify him, crucify him." Little did they know that that was the exact plan of God, that Jesus was to meet that destiny, that he was to die on that cross of Calvary for our sins and for the promise that he was going to send a comforter. Thank God for the comforter. Next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday, and I hope that you're making plans to glorify and praise the Lord. You ought to be doing it each and every day, but something special about Resurrection Sunday, because when Jesus Christ resurrected, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, it gave us hope. It gave us that comforter that he sent back in his name, that comforter that is still with us, that comforter that I can feel even now as we gather together to worship and glorify and praise the Lord. There'll be many, many church services next week that are not able to have corporate worship, but that does not keep us from worshiping and celebrating Resurrection Sunday. As Jesus Christ came down off of the cross, came out of the tomb, and he's alive and well today, victorious over all of these things. And with his stripes, thank God we are healed, with the many stripes that he bore upon his body. And I believe with all of my heart, somewhere on that body was the stripe for the healing of this terrible coronavirus that we're facing now. Stand strong. Stay in the faith. Continue to stay in the Word of God. Search the Scriptures daily. Please, please, I can't urge you enough to get in the Word of God. Get there with your family. Hopefully you're still meeting on Sunday nights and with your immediate family there, even as you shelter in. Open the Word of God. Pray one for another. And read the Word of God, and let's continue to be strong and stand firm, amen, on the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We will win. If you look in the back of the book, we are winners, amen. If not in this present world, then most definitely in that world that is to come. Thank the Lord for you tuning in today. We love you with all of our heart. We ask you to continue to pray one for another. Pray for this great nation. Pray for this world. It is a rampant, rampant virus, but we know a God who's greater than any problem, any situation, and certainly any sickness. So let's stick together, pray one for another. We've been hearing where people are praying, and I'm glad that the news media is actually covering some of those prayers, because if we ever needed a time of prayer, it's certainly the hour that you and I are living in. So I thank those that who are acknowledging that prayer works. They even had some on the television this morning. They had some pastors and some different walks of life and different professions praying, and praying not only for their self and their welfare, but praying for the welfare of this world. God bless you. We love you at First Pentecostal Church. We encourage you, if you have never made a commitment to Christ, there is no better time than now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. There may be shortages that right now that we're experiencing. There may be things that we cannot touch, we cannot put into our home now. Pieces are running out of things, but I will assure you there is a very present help in time of trouble, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Reach out to Him, open up your heart's door, invite Jesus in, not just to stay, but not just to visit, but to stay and to live in your heart and in your life. And when things settle down, and all of this is kind of a thing of the past, continue to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful and glorious day today. Amen. Remember, Wednesday night again at 7 o'clock, we will be live streaming here from First Pentecostal Church, and on 11 Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. So be much in prayer for our church here. Be much in prayer that these words will go out and give comfort to someone today. I hope and pray that somebody out there who's listening or viewing the live stream will make a commitment to Christ today. Can we bow our heads? Dear gracious God, how loving you are. How thankful we are for the words of Jesus Christ that told us that he would give us peace. Lord, not peace that the world gives. We know that is just temporary peace, but everlasting peace that Jesus Christ himself gave us when he came forth out of the tomb and sent back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to be with us, to dwell within us, to take up its abode in our lives, to help us in decision making, to help us walk a righteous and holy life, to help us to be prepared and be ready to meet you. Father, I pray for the many, many people, Lord, who are suffering today. Again, we pray that you would touch, anoint, and heal. And Father, we thank you for those that tuned in today, and we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a glorious day.